Okay, guys, welcome back to your A-List Lowdown, coming at you July 22nd, 2025, with Deception Racket. Coming at you July
22nd, 2025. Deception Racket. Oh, there's an echo coming through.
There is an echo coming through.
Oh, there's an echo
coming through. It's pretty delayed.
I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know what has happened.
That could be a good mix, anyways.
I don't know what is. Okay, DJ problem. I think I found it.
Yeah,
I might have fixed it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah,
I shut down everything in the process, though. So, sorry.
So everything from OBS and the other one?
All that other stuff is shut down. We're still live on YouTube, so thank you for sticking around. Just bear with us. We're live everywhere. So that's the problem. As soon as I open this browser, it wants to talk to me.
Yeah.
So the little hack we came up with to try and stream to TikTok is not going to work. We'll have to keep trying. The only reason we're trying to do that is because we've got a bigger following on TikTok than we got any place else for this show. So we're just seeing if we could go live there for them, but we can't. So, or at least we can't unless we figure out some stuff that I'll try and figure out along the way. I don't see how that's going to work, though. It's going to get weird. You know what? No. You know what might work? Nah, it probably won't work either. I was thinking maybe you could stream it, but I don't think that would work either.
Yeah, we might be able to just use Restream for this one night, like when we do A-List.
Just get the stream, just get Restream again?
Yeah, try that again. Were we using it before?
We used Restream, yeah, way back in the day when we were still using OBS, we used Restream because that was the only way to get to like YouTube and a few other places at once.
Oh, so can you use it without OBS?
I don't know. I don't know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can figure out getting a stream key from TikTok first, because then I could add it into here, which would make it sort of easier. I just tried to do it I didn't have enough time. I need some more time. I need to get my assistant involved and figure it out. But we got a short show for you here today. Maybe it'll be a long show. Actually, we'll see how it goes. But I got a few things. Graham's got a few things. I guess we might as well. We should probably start with the one we teased last week.
Okay, sure, if you want, yeah.
Because you kind of showed a bit of it, I think, right? We kind of skimmed the list quickly.
Yeah, let's start off with that, because you're going to have to be prepared to look up some stuff, and I'm going to read through this whole list, so.
Okay.
Okay, so I figure this is worth it. I mean, we're talking about the legacy of Trudeau, Carney, and the NDP Liberals. Now, not that this is even like, let's make right up front, let's say, like, especially, I'm probably speaking for you too, but I don't know if it would have been that much different with the Conservatives. I mean, maybe half the stuff, or I mean, like, we don't really, or at least I don't really think that the Conservatives are going to make that much of a difference. I mean, I'm just disenchanted with Canada, no matter who's running the show. But having said that, it's been pretty bad over the last 10 years. I mean, it does feel like it's in collapse.
One thing I would say that the Conservatives would be doing differently is they would not be trying to throw Tamara Leach and the other dude, Dave Barber, behind bars. I don't think.
I don't know. When COVID happened, when that convoy happened, the Conservatives weren't much different from what I remember. So,
yeah, I agree.
So this is the legacy from Jay Gen Xer. Shout out to this X account, Jay Gen Xer. He put a lot of work into making this list. So I'm just going to read this whole thing, and Darren can pipe in when he wants to research something or something. But this is just like a really bullet point list of all the stuff that's been happening. So Bill C 293, Canadian sovereignty. These titles that he's given it aren't the actual like titles of the bills, because they'd be very misleading. So he, you know, just take what he says as, you know, you can kind of read into what these are for. Bill C-63, controlled speech, the censorship bill being passed off as child harms bill. Bill S-210, digital identification. Bill S-275, Bank of Canada reform. Bill C-223, universal basic income. Oh, we haven't even talked about that on the show. There was a pretty good breakdown of that as well. Bill C-11, censorship. Bill C-21, disarm law-abiding citizens. Bill C-18, more censorship. Bill C-75, bail reform, soft on crime. R versus Jordan, Jordan application equals dismissal. Bill C-69, No More Pipelines Act, one you've been hearing a lot about lately. Bill C-372, Fossil Fuel Advertising Act, another ridiculous one that Daniel Smith's finally pushing back on. Bill C-59, Cancel Oil and Gas. Bill C-48, No Shipping Alberta Oil from the BC Coast. Tanker Ban, Shutting Down Northern Gateway Pipeline. Bill C-5, Automatic Bail for Violent Offenders. Bill C-16, Gender Identity and Expression, Destroyed Women's Sex-Based Protections Guaranteed in the Charter. Bill C-4, Anti-Conversion Therapy, Destroying Parental Right to Help Children Feel Comfortable in Their Natural Bodies. Bill C-65 introduces a suite of amendments to the Canada Elections Act. So then we have, these are going to be like controversies and scandals and...
Scandals, baby.
Stuff that has been going on probably since 2015, I would say. So $60 million Arrive scam, Emergencies Act, the War Level Act against peaceful protesters. That's what Darren was just talking about, where, you know, it's like they want to put Barber and Tamara in the jail for 7 to 8 years when really this was, they said, I thought this was illegally enacted. But nothing happens to the government investigating themselves. Hard drugs called safe drugs supplied in vending machines. $258 million in projects to GC Strategies. That was the same company that did the Arrive scam. Government Canada Strategies. I mean, they could have come up with a more creative acronym than that. The Winnipeg Labs. The SNC scandal. SNC-Lavalin. Aga Khan trip scandal. $84,000 Jamaica vacation. So some of these, what?
That was just my computer making noises.
Some of these are going to seem trivial, but it's just the point is to add them all, you know, to add them all up. $84,000 Jamaican vacation, $6,000 a night for a single room for the Queen's funeral, $1.3 million on 3 affordable retreats, China election interference, Chinese police stations in Canada. Green slush fund scandal, funding Islamic groups who are protesting in support of Hamas, $1 billion paid out for hotels for refugees and asylum seekers, additional Bell funding, $40 million to fire staff, $1 billion to CBC to collapse their credibility, blocking Veterans Affairs Committee investigation, $29 billion in cost overruns on TMX. I mean, that is mind-blowing right there. Expanding MAID into those with mental illness. $2 billion to invest in companies that don't exist. $500 million to fund abortions in other countries. The WE scandal. The CPP increase and CPP2. I wonder if he's going to have in here that the CPP invested in Chinese EVs. And then we tariff them. That would be a good one. I bet you that's not in here. I don't know. I don't think the ferry. Oh, maybe the ferry is in here. The highest inflation in 30 years, highest interest rates in 30 years, unsustainable immigration, forcing untested vaccinations, ignoring vaccine injured. I agree with all that. 11 million Canadians requiring food banks, 2 million Canadians hitting the food banks per month, every month. Tent cities in every major city, houses and rent prices skyrocketing. Healthcare collapsing, out of control spending by the Governor General, overpayment of CERB payments to prisoners, people who don't qualify, people who don't live in Canada, 10,000 ventilators purchased from a liberal friend that never got used because they were never needed. Ooh, some of these hurt. That's smart. $300 million for storage of mobile hospitals that were never used. $400 million for quarantine hospitals. Illegally using the Emergencies Act against Canadians. That's what we talked about already. Firing federal workers and not paying them EI based on vaccination status. $30 billion, and making batteries for cars while EV manufacturers are divesting from EV technology. $9 million in cricket factory for human consumption. I don't think that worked very well either. Accusing India of killing citizens on Canadian soil. Soiling relations with China. Telling Germany and Japan that we don't want their business on LNG. Violent protests allowing to escalate without recourse. Violated Canadian Charter of Rights. Conflating climate boiling with arson. That's a good one. 2018 India vacation, Mr. Dress-Up. Elbow gate in House of Commons. 2.9% inflation. 4.75 interest rate. So we already, you know, we already talked about it.
4.9% is low.
Yeah, that's monthly though, right? I think.
Yeah, but wasn't it higher than that for a little while? Are we just ignoring those ones?
25% living in poverty. Housing is unaffordable. Canadian forces made ineffective, out of date. Rising crimes. Failed gun bans on lawful owners. Tent cities in every city. I think some of this is repeated. Opioid epidemic. No progress on missing Aboriginal women. A divided country. Reduction of Canadian forestry management causing more forest fires. Climate. $6 billion to the Philippines for gender equality and fight climate change. $5 million ice rink on Parliament Hill. $8.6 million reno on the Harrington Lake cottage. $2.5 million for the additional cottage at Harrington Lake, rumored to be for Sophie and kids. Safe injection sites, not so safe around children. Failed safe supply being sold for hard drugs. Legalization of hard drugs. Speaker Greg Fergus, after partisan language, appeared in an ad for an upcoming event in his riding. Fergus was found to have violated the act by writing a letter of support for a television channel application to the CRTC for mandatory carriage, Freeland by-election at by-election. Anthony Rota is thrown under the bus for the House of Commons. Hunka Clappin, PMO's office knew who he was before. Mary Ng, 17,000 ethical contract. Failed UN security seat campaign of over 8.6 million. I'm going to throw a couple in here before I forget about them. The 17,000 prisoner or criminals that they knew that they led into the country without vetting them properly, it seems like. And what was the other one I was thinking of too? The ballot gate.
They're doing it again. You mean the longest ballot?
Yeah, they're doing it again. They're beating the record. I mean, they're proud of beating the record to like 108 people on Pierre's ballot upcoming.
It's not too bad.
It's just the way they let this stuff happen. It's just disgusting. And then what was I going to say about the other one? We forgot about the anti-hate. I don't think the anti-hate is in here either, which we can talk about a little bit later. $300 million on redesigning. Oh, and the other one is Foreign Affairs Canada, that whole thing, right? How many billions? The consultants is another one. $300 million on redesigning the Canadian passport. What was wrong with the old design? Not woke enough. $220,000 on in-flight catering, Indo-Pacific trip. Trip was for over $2 million. Justin Trudeau bought his buddy Tom a $9 million condo in New York City. I mean, I don't know. Like some of the stuff, who gives a shit what he does with his money? Mind you, $9 million is quite a bit to buy a buddy when you're just a young actor president.
Actor.
$28,000 to Randy Boisseau's former company. 25% of Canadians are living below the poverty line. That's a repeat, man. Stephen Guilbeault, $30 billion cover-up. MP Jolie's husband, top recipient of Future Entrepreneur Program. Immigration Minister Mark Miller, importing terrorists. $523,000 Melanie Jolie Rush furnace ordering spending spree. Oh, remember that? I think that was Carney's, one of Carney's companies has a hand in that. Bombardier scandal in here, 2017. Apodex lobbying investigation. General Dynamics deal and human rights in 2018. Carbon tax times five and to increase on April Fool's Day, pun clearly intended. Ukraine funding, question mark. 834,000 to kill 84 deer from a helicopter. I remember that one. That was a good one. We did a story on that. Not one that was intended to be hunted was killed. Gave $12 million to Loblaws for new fridges. Gave $50 million to MasterCard.
They killed the wrong deer?
Well, he says not one that was intended to be hunted was killed.
I'm going to have to dig into that. I'm going to have to dig into that because it didn't say that in the article we had that they shot the wrong ones.
Gave $50 million to MasterCard 2020, a company that made $16 billion the year prior. Catherine McKenna and $30 billion unaccounted for transportation funds. Jody Wilson-Raybould, Jane Philpott, the scandal with Selena Caesar. Chavon's quitting. Fundraiser at lobbyist's home, Barry Sherman, implicated in Sherman's murders. Surfing on First Reconciliation Day. I don't know what that means. 10.5 million payout to Qatar, reduce age of consent for sodomy, 100 million on useless gun ban that will eventually cost Canadian taxpayers $5 to $10 billion and still will have zero impact on public safety. Actually make us less safe, probably. 4.5 billion not pipelines me. Buyout. What?
I said, not me. My guns aren't for sale.
Railway blockades, churches burning. 121 million to the Clinton Foundation, 11 million renovation for Sussex, but instead on Trudeau's cottage, 16 tons of PPE to China, 2 billion trees, banned plastic straws, the Yaroslav Hunka debacle, the inaction on PRC election interference of 2019-21, the RCMP investigation interference allegations during the Nova Scotia MCC, Catherine McKenna's missing billions. I think he's repeated that one a couple times. $8 million garage bunker at Harrington Cottage. Yeah, that's that other. That one's, I don't know, not too big of a deal. It's a, maybe double the price it should be, but it's a pretty big garage. Government funding to Telesat Canada, market cap of $0.5 billion. Sold to Bell Canada in 2007. 2024, $2.14 billion and $400 million. 2021, $1.44 billion. Earlier funding not disclosed. Lightspeed internet to citizens effort began 2010, 14 years, and still no service commitment. Freeland asking $2 billion of taxpayer money for a firm that doesn't exist. Anita Anand giving hundreds of millions of dollars to her husband's company. Patty Hajou's corruption, Winnipeg lab leak story. The federal government spent $388 million on housing people who are forced to quarantine and return from Canada between April 2020 and December 2022. This cost included lodging, meals, security, transportation, and traveler support. $9 million to teach French in African countries. So, I mean, I guess I should keep going. We're almost there, but this is quite an exhausting list.
Are we almost there? It's not the whole sidebar, is it? Because on the sidebar, you're not even halfway down yet.
No, it's not. It's almost done. To teach Africans. So as part of concrete commitments in Canada's renewed approach to engagement with Africa, Minister Jolie announced $54.4 million in funding for flagship initiatives and projects in Africa in the following key focus areas: peace and security, good governance. Canada adds $15 million to aid for Lebanon, says it will match $6 million in donations. Canada is adding another $15 million to its humanitarian aid package for Lebanon after an escalation in the conflict between Israel and Lebanon-based militant group Hezbollah. 28,000 archaeological video game analysis, $20,000 gender politics of Peruvian rock music. See, the problem is with these, now you could list like all the pages that you, I think you had 137 pages from Global Affairs, and I mean, 90% of those could be added to this as separate items, so I would have just left these $1,000 ones out of here. 54 million African youth, 34 billion to build 4 billion pipeline in Canada. He already repeated that one. $10 million in Muslim African nation for gender equality, $600 million for LGBTQ plus 2S. $50 million design a new Canadian pass. Oh, see, they already did that. $2 billion Project Gala, $194 million sexual reproduction rights for Ethiopia and Tanzania.
We should. What are the rights? Not having any.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, crazy. $200 million into Cycle Capital, Stephen Guibeau's company, gas powered vehicles banned coming up 2035. $67 million spent on confiscation of firearms before a single gun has been collected. $304 million loan from taxpayers to Atkins Realis, the scandal ridden Quebec company formerly known as SNC Lavalin. 2015, the Liberal government of Canada will never buy the F-35 fighter jet. 2023, the Liberal government of Canada is buying the F-35 fighter jet. What have I missed?
Are we back to buying it now? I mean, there's an off and an on again in there that he missed again, because it was off again and off again since this post happened. Because this post got to be a little ways old, right?
This post?
Yeah.
No, a couple of days, July 17th, 5 days old. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It seems like it's a repost.
Maybe it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be a repost, right?
I don't know. I mean, it looked like it was his original. A lot of people just thanking him here. I mean, there's the $1 billion steel subsidy in there. That's not in there. There's we talked, the ferries isn't in there. Spending. You know what? I heard them talking about the ferries. They said it was only like $1 billion. I'm like, $1 billion is only the loan. It's not the total contract.
What was the total contract?
They wouldn't tell us. Remember, they said they had to keep it closed for future contracts.
Interesting.
You know, and I was thinking to myself, let's say it's $3 billion and they get like $1 billion loaned, right? And I was thinking, how can anyone think it would be better to spend $3 billion in China than $5 or $6 billion even at home? Right? How could you even think that spending billions outside instead of putting billions, even if it costs more, instead of putting billions into your own country? There's got to be that calculation that has to be made that says it's better to boost your own country with, even if you spent double the money, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even if you spent 5 times the money.
Well, I know, but I don't want to get too like hyperbolic about it, right? Just to be...
Because it's the government. I mean, it'd be different if it's a private sector, but it's the government. So I think that they should just spend their money on what we're up to, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Spend that money on Canadians.
And how about use it to build up your shipbuilding? If we can't build more than 4 ships in 15 years, like, then let's increase our capacity. We have 2 massive coasts. You think we'd have a pretty big shipbuilder on the East Coast and one on the West Coast, at least?
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, this almost fits into your little list, really. Now I got a billion fucking windows open from this. What a shit show. Okay, where is it? I think it's this one. No, it's this one. It's this one. Yeah. Okay. So I'll share this. We could just add, like, this is part of your list. Tamara Leach facing 7 years for nonviolent protest. Chris Barber facing 2 years and they want to crush his truck just for some weird spite reason.
I thought that was 8 years. I thought he was getting 8, they said.
It says 2. For nonviolent protest. And now let's get into some recent immigrants. Manpreet Gill, involved in a liquor store robbery, drove the wrong way down Highway 401, crashed and killed 4, including a baby. He got 5.5 months. The judge wanted to keep it under 6 months so he could avoid automatic deportation.
You know what surprised me about that? That we have automatic deportation for more than 6 months. Okay. I mean, I can't believe that's a thing.
Akash Kumar Kant tried to buy sex from a 15-year-old got house arrest because the judge didn't want to delay his citizenship. And Samar Preet Singh exposed himself for 20 minutes inside a woman's home while installing her internet. He got house arrest because the judge cited a deportation risk. So I think that finishes up your list nicely.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Can you imagine your internet guy just shows up and takes his pants off? What do you do? I know what I would do. But
for 20 minutes. So this kind of adds to the list too. Did you see this? 189 charities share the same address.
In Canada?
Yeah. In Vancouver. Same.
Is it like charity, the charity tower?
Same ineligible individual has sat on the board of 13, which have had their status revoked. So when I went to this, I actually had to sign up for this Investigative Journalism Foundation. I don't know if you ever, have you ever heard of that? Have you ever read this?
No, what do you mean you signed up? Signed up to be an investigative journalist?
No, I had to just sign in. I had to like give my email to get in here. So I'm going to get a bunch of spam from them. But this is interesting. So Vancouver won the award here, but there's two other areas that have a shit ton of charities under the same address. So the address shared by the greatest number of charities in the country belongs to Vancouver Company, founded by a woman who has been deemed an ineligible individual by the Canadian Revenue Agency. According, are you an ineligible Indian, Darren?
Probably.
According to an analysis by the IJF, a total of 189 charities in this database have listed 1208 Pender Street as their address in their tax returns. That's the office of Cadence Charity Services, a business co-founded in 2020 by Victoria Nalgawa and a partner to provide support to charities. Oh, so they're providing support to charities. Records provided show that they had been a director of 13 charities and their status revoked after an audit. She has been deemed an ineligible individual by the agency. Ineligible people are not promoted, prohibited from becoming directors of charities, but the designation allows the CRA to consider whether to take action against the charities they lead. People can be deemed ineligible because of financial crimes or connections to charities that have had their status revoked because of serious breaches of law. Earlier this year, she was named in the summary of its reasons for revoking the charitable status called Delicate Balance Foundation. She was removed from the board of that charity in 2023, along with other ineligible directors. Wow, they were replaced by yet another ineligible director. I'm not going to name all these names here. People can go to the thing and see it. She was listed as a director of 16 charities that have filed their 2024 returns, but she has ceased her involvement with all but one. In 2023, 41 charities included her as a director, but she stopped being a director for 25 of those by the end of the year. She did not respond to requests for comment, but apart from this, which, see, I didn't really want to focus on this because it seems to be a regular thing. Not regular, but in a couple other spots. Other Canadian addresses connected to large number of charities include an accounting firm in Lethbridge.
Ooh.
With 188, and a financial management office in Toronto with 117, and another Vancouver law firm with 106.
Interesting. So
I don't know. Doesn't that seem suspect to you? If you can put an address down that's not an actual separated address that 100 charities are sharing that with you, don't you see that being a problem?
It seems a little bit sketchy. Hey, in other news, I think I got the TikTok working. Might be working. You might be on TikTok.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So I don't know for sure though. I don't know how it works. I don't know if the auto is working. I figured it's best just turn it on so I can assess what happened later. And hopefully everyone won't freak out. Speaking of everyone freak out, this one might I don't know if this will get us in trouble or not.
On TikTok or anywhere?
Not on TikTok. I mean, TikTok does seem to get pissy about some stuff, but I did win all the appeals so far.
Nice.
Which is interesting. You know, they were into the era of winning appeals.
It is interesting because it was an automatic rejection a while back on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it still is for trying to get monetization. And then it still is for some other stuff too. Like it's like our Amazon account and all that stuff, and all that stuff still fucked. So here's a little clip about RFK Jr. I mean, it probably fits more on a roundup, but I don't want to wait that long. And I just want to play it here because it does affect all of us. It'll be interesting. I mean, I heard today that RFK took the COVID-19 shot off of the childhood vaccine schedule.
Wow.
Which would be a big move, right? Well, listen to this.
RFK Jr., a man who now has access to all the classified files, just told us that Anthony Fauci funded the creation of the virus, gave bioweapons technology to communist China, and then covered it up when millions of people died. This isn't just a conspiracy theory anymore. This is the official position of the United States government under President Donald J. Trump. The FBI believes it. The CIA believes it. The Department of Energy believes it. Fauci didn't just mishandle the pandemic. He caused it. RFK.
Have you heard any of this?
I didn't hear about the removing off the childhood one. I mean, I was arguing with the Union of the Unwanted the other night because I was saying how RFK is doing some good work, but they're just railing against every single little thing. And I'm like, I mean, I can't see how he could go much faster than he's going, to be honest with you, after 6 months only.
It would be ironic if that happened today after you were arguing with them yesterday.
I know. I'd love that. Yeah.
It would be kind of funny. Okay, I'm going to play this one here. This is a mainstream clip. But, I mean, we do get a lot of U.S. listeners, and everyone always wants to talk about how great our healthcare system is. So this is a nice little piece on the Canadian healthcare system.
35-year-old Jonah Imason was escorted to the emergency room while he was at the Moncton Hospital for an appointment in early June. He felt pain in his chest and numbness in his arm, telltale signs of a heart attack.
I then was sat in the ER waiting room, and I was there 3:30 Wednesday, and I didn't get in until 4 a.m. Thursday morning. While I was there, I was showing other symptoms. I was sweating profusely and I had to get up, and I think I threw up about 4, 5 to 6 times while I was in
what?
The
waiting
room. He described the waiting.
Wait, couldn't even get to like a bed? I mean, they couldn't even give him a bed?
Wait till you get to the end, dude.
Room as being completely swamped with patients, saying there were very few chairs, which left him standing at many points. At midnight, he even considered walking down the street and calling an ambulance to see if that would fast track things. After he was finally seen at 4 a.m., a doctor told him he had a heart attack.
It was for sure terrifying finding that out. And to top it all off, a statement that was said to me actually by one of the doctors was, even though I was very tired while in the waiting room, it's a good thing I didn't fall asleep, because there's a very good chance I wouldn't have woken up.
Imason says his experience shows just how bad the state of the healthcare system is in New Brunswick.
So in other words, their inability saved him. I mean, if they would have put him in a bed, he probably would have died.
Well, if they would have put him in bed, I would have think that they would have had like a doctor to see him.
I mean, who knows? Here, relax. Yeah. Here, wait for the doctor.
Even if they would have gave him a chair, he might have died. He had to stand up.
He had to walk down the street, call an ambulance, try to get in the back door.
Because otherwise, more people will die because they're not being appropriately taken care of. Whether it's on purpose or accident, doesn't matter. If people die, people die.
In a statement, Horizon's VP of Clinical Operations said, patients presenting with chest pain or symptoms suggestive of a potential cardiac event deserve timely and immediate access to emergency medical care. This situation is deeply troubling and not reflective of the standards of care our teams strive to provide. He says they have initiated a review to ensure a similar incident doesn't happen in the future. Susanna Pointe, Global News, Moncton.
I'm surprised Global, I don't know, go that deep on that, because can you imagine it being that packed with people and that you're that far down on the list with a heart attack? Are you kidding? You think there's all what?
When I went in with my heart problems years ago when I was still doing the cocaine, you know, like 20 years ago, when I went into the doctor, And because I thought I was having a heart attack, my buddy Kyle drove me there. I was like, fuck, something's not good. So I went there and I told them what was happening, and they like took my blood pressure and like immediately escorted me into the back. So that's, I assume that would have been standard because there was a bunch of people there. I mean, not like it is today. Today it's crazy. So they used to at least sort of fast track you if you were having ticker problems.
Well, and the waiting room probably wasn't filled with people with coughs and like just like, you know, not feeling too good in their tummy, or I mean, whatever the reason why all these people are going to the emergency room, maybe because they don't have a family doctor anymore. So everybody's going there to get their re-ups on their prescriptions. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. To follow up on that, maybe make it one big healthcare segment. Where do you think Canada stands on MRI machines per million people from the OECD?
So do you want to give you a number?
Like out of 33 countries, where does Canada fall?
27.
29, close.
29. So how many do we have per million? 30.
We have 10.8 per million. I mean, we're way past the average. The OECD average is 19.4. Japan, this is from JGen Extra 2 again. This is Japan has 50, over 57, USA 38, Greece 37, South Korea, Germany, Italy, Finland, Norway, Austria, Spain.
So we only got 400 or 500 of these things in the whole country? No wonder you got to wait 8 or 10 months. Yeah. And a bunch of them are privately owned in Alberta.
Oh my God. Yeah, exactly. So let's let this, an MRI machine costs all in around 3 million. Canada has 432 for the whole nation. Our federal government spends 500 million when it twitches. We could increase our capacity to 600 MRIs with that spend. Our poor healthcare outcomes are truly a voter's choice. Thanks, liberals, and your retarded supporters. 200 billion for UK and 100 billion. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. That's way more than what Canada spends. You want to see what this says? This is NDP became so ideologically captive they refused to partner with private MRI clinics for publicly paid scans. Simply because they also exist as a for-profit clinic. NDP forgets that any evil profit these clinics make must pay three levels of taxes. That's a good point. And as a result, MRI machines went unused in 2023. Over 5,000 cancer patients were sent to the U.S. for treatment. Unbelievable.
So they'll send them to the U.S., but they won't send them to a private clinic? Interesting.
Yeah, they refuse to partner with private MRI clinics for publicly paid for scans. That doesn't surprise me at all, though.
Well, here's this one. Remember we were talking last week about that 70-year-old lady that got stabbed. I mean, the rumor going around is that this kid's been let out already for a couple serious things, Grand Theft Auto and another. So here's just a clip of the kid.
Oh, but Darren, like keeping them in wouldn't deter them from more crimes though.
I know. Poor guy. Let's hear what the poor guy has to say for himself.
Trust me, I didn't even mean to fucking kill the old lady. Oh, wow, boy. I was trying to get the V from her as a free car, so man can whip it and do a 1-2 things in it. But fam, it went left. Cause yo, she didn't give me the key, so I yoked her. And then, yo, I yoked and I got the keys. Idiot. And then the feds came out. I had to cry as soon as they came out. So, like, you know, it's an idiot thing.
So the feds were already on the scene?
No. All up on the phone. Somebody came outside, yelled, and then I caught. And then they caught the feds. Yeah. So I'm all up on. I poked her. I caught. And fam, I wasn't even scared.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, right? So they're kind of, he's just making so light of it. All he wanted was the keys. Like, she wouldn't give me the keys, right? I asked for the keys. She wouldn't give me the keys, so I poke her. Like, this is what the problem is, right? There's it seems to be like it's okay to steal people's property now. This is where we're at. This is what soft on crime does. And all these people like Guy Fusciella or whatever is out there, like, and his supporters are like, oh, it doesn't mean that if you're hard on crime, it doesn't mean it's going to like deter the criminals. The criminals don't think about this stuff. Are you kidding me? If you're going to be doing 10 in jail for taking somebody's property, it's sure as shit's going to deter people.
Yeah, nobody wants
to go to jail. Be in jail instead of out there causing more crimes.
Nobody wants to go to jail. Speaking of jail,
here's the well, they don't mind if they're getting out right away.
Here's a little bigger breakdown. This is a little older, a couple weeks old, 12. Or no, I guess it's only a week. This is just comment section.
Oh, in the my God.
Post, but non-citizen Johns shouldn't get sentence discounts for their crimes. In December 2023, Ashkumar Kant, 30, plus or minus some months, made the mistake of trying to arrange to have sex with a 15-year-old at a Mississauga Holiday Inn for $140. Only when he got there that the 15-year-old turned out to be a cop. He was arrested at the hotel with $140 in cash on hand and subsequently ended up in court, but he won't receive a criminal record for his actions, in part because of his immigration status. On June 25th, Kant was sentenced to a conditional discharge for committing an indecent act. For 3 months, he will be under house arrest, during which time he can go shopping for 3 hours every Sunday, attend religious services, medical appointments, and travel to and from work. 12 months of probation will follow afterward. Whether Ontario will appeal remains an open question, as the province won't reveal its plan until after July 25th. Why such a low sentence? Part of it came down to the fact that he pled guilty to a lesser offense. Peel Police told the Post that they initially charged Kant with obtaining sexual services for consideration from a person under 18 years. This would have carried a six-month minimum jail sentence for first-time offenders under the criminal code. But the Ontario Court of Appeal ruled this modest mandatory minimum to be unconstitutional last year. Unconstitutional.
It's unbelievable.
Kant pleaded to attempting an indecent act instead, which has a maximum penalty of 2 years in jail. Crown prosecutors asked for 90 days, but they didn't get their wish. And much of the reason why came down to the fact that he was accused. The accused was not a citizen. Originally from India's Gujarat state, Kant came to Canada in 2019 for school, specifically a master's of engineering. He finished in 2021 and attained a permanent residency in 2023. Also in 2023, he married his wife, who is currently here on a work visa set to expire in September. This was an important consideration for Justice Paul Thomas Amara, who joined the Ontario Court of Justice in the Kathleen Wynne era. Mr. Kant is a permanent resident seeking Canadian citizenship and professional licensing, wrote the judge. A conviction would not only delay his citizenship by 4 years, but could also prevent him from sponsoring his wife and obtaining his engineering license. These immigration and professional consequences are far more severe than those faced by an offender in a similar case who is a Canadian citizen with no such vulnerabilities. Courts have recognized that such consequences can justify a more lenient sentence, including discharge. Logically, Kant would be getting a higher sentence if he were Canadian. This is why sentencing practice is so deeply unfair. Go down to the last.
Can you just scroll up a bit? I'm just curious why they're talking about his IQ in there. He's above average IQ.
Oh, noting his above average IQ, his first time offender status, his lack of mental illness or criminal record.
So they're literally talking about IQ in there.
His modesty, if he's an idiot, they'd have to lock him up. And low likelihood of reoffending. He did show worse.
It'd be opposite.
Wait. Omar, so it says that he's a low risk of reoffending. However, he did show some response to younger females in phallometric testing.
Phallometric?
That's got to be like they got something on your dick.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he's getting excited with young kids. But he's smart, so it's okay.
It's okay. I don't know. Do we need to go on? The judge was troubled, on the other hand, by what he characterized as evidentiary weakness in the Crown's case, namely a partial phone download, no direct link between the phone and Mr. Kant, and surveillance footage that failed to show him at the hotel room door. Though these concerns are questionable, his police should be able to testify to Kant's presence at the door, and because his phone was seized upon arrest. This is happening all around Canada. In Calgary last year, a man on a study visa was found guilty of groping a woman's genitals at a club.
That's different, though. Completely different.
Yeah. He was given a conditional discharge to lessen his chances of deportation. So, there you have it.
Wow.
We can't risk losing these gems, Graham. It's too risky. Well,
I think we need to play this because last time we did broach the subject of the, you know, the Diagonal and the anti-hate network in this. So I was going to talk to you more about that anti-hate thing because that was a controversy that still never really got good enough, you know, media attention, right? Their propaganda. Basically, one of the reasons why they brought the Emergencies Act into place was because of the propaganda from the anti-hate network. So here's Wiretap Media did a pretty good thread on this. CBC's Tracking Fascist Fight Club, a poorly crafted government propaganda investigation with clever editing, great audio and sound bites without context. I'll just play a little bit of this video from Jeremy.
Hello, everyone. It is I, odious dirtbag and de facto leader of the Diagonal, Jeremy McKenzie. I was in court all day and I was already dressed, so don't read into this too much. I've come today to address directly Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative Party, and its supporters. While the previous days have been a source of amusement, bewilderment, and confusion for many.
The leader of the opposition wants to talk about extremism. Well, a week ago, he visited the Diagonal encampment.
You have a leader of the opposition who proactively visits and cultivates the support of white nationalist extremist groups.
Who has been identified by Canadian security and intelligence as a terrorism organization.
People who have threatened wars on LGBTQ communities.
And he went out of his way to visit and sit down with this organization.
Who have threatened to gang rape female journalists.
With respect, this undermines the seriousness of the peril our nation has found itself in yet again due to the bumbling, inept application of malevolent power from the Prime Minister and his Liberal Party.
I think this is the soundbite he's talking about. I think this is an old one that was clipped together to make it seem real bad.
Now that Tom McKenzie's court days are done by now, right?
Yeah, this is an old one. That's all them. Like, notice how they cut it off right before he was basically talking about how he's got nothing to do with the conservatives, right? And they were making it seem like they did. So I think that what Wiretap is showing is that this was all edited to make it look like. I can skip ahead a bit. I don't want to watch
the whole thing. But the Emergency Measures Act in February of 2022.
And it's not just a few malcontents or a couple flags. This so-called convoy actually seeded the ground, in my opinion, for the worst display of Nazi and racist propaganda.
Imagine that, eh? How bad that propaganda is there. The convoy laid the ground for the worst Nazi and racist problem. Are you fucking kidding me, dude? It's infuriating. I'm not even going to play more of that and give.
I want to fight that guy right now.
Isn't it? It's literally infuriating. I can't believe more people haven't snapped over all this. So the CBC depicted the SS, the Second Sons, as a shadowy organization operating in secrecy. However, the organization's website can be found with a simple Google search that contains a clear mission statement. Now, I should probably read that. What?
Oh, nothing.
Should we read it?
Yeah.
Oh, the whole thing, or? Yeah, I don't know about the whole thing. Let me
paraphrase it.
Today, as we navigate the complexities of a rapidly changing world, the spirit of those who built this nation calls out to you. Our way of life, the pride of our work, the camaraderie at the local pub, and the shared stories by the campfire and Christmas dinner table are at risk of fading into mere memories. You, the contemporary Canadian man, are at a crossroads. Will you watch passively as our way of life, our values, and our cultural heritage are defiled and erased, or will you step forward like the heroes of our past? Like our grandfathers did to safeguard and revitalize the essence of what it means to be Canadian. Sounds like a beer commercial, really.
That could be a good beer commercial, like a Molson Canadian commercial or something.
Yeah, we somebody should turn that little quote into an AI beer commercial and it would be fine. We are looking for like-minded men to join our fraternal organization that transcends mere politics or social clubs. And then in our nation, in our communities, and in our families. So, you know, of course they're not going to make this all overtly racist in here, right? CBC conflates their white supremacy secret society narrative because, like most NGOs, SS protects membership's identity, and for good reason. This is the CON, the anti-hate network, claim that associated members were part of an extremist militia organization that wasn't verified by Canadian intelligence, and they used the CBC to conflate their message. CBC, Rachel Gilmore, Evan Balgord, Bernie Farber, and every other communist continue to call Diagonal a violent extremist militia group by using early RCMP assessments, but fail to acknowledge the RCMP's final conclusion. Does not pose a primitive or national security threat. Not accelerationist. No incident of violence. No incitement of violence. No criminality. I mean, this is a good example, right? Diagonal does not meet dictionary definitions of a group. So interesting stuff that these are from the final thing. They recognize Bernie Farber as an agent provocateur. This is the RCMP, who inflates the truth, alters public perception, and manipulates Canadian law enforcement. Con chair, this is from the RCMP here, is assumed to be an untainted resource of information on what constitutes hate, yet he often makes negative or inflammatory comments about political candidates to the right of the Liberal Party. The fact that Farber has been repeatedly contracted to train police officers across the province about extremism in North America shows how easily Con is able to shape not only public sentiment, but also law enforcement targeting. I almost want to play this, but I also don't, because it's going to infuriate us. This is the guy talking about how they're not biased or politically motivated.
And to your question about the government, you know, well, what do we need to start doing about it? I will say, you know, a lot of these programs that are intended to combat hate or racism, that have quite a lot of money attached to them. They fund a variety of projects, some of which are very good, a lot of which is research, and almost none of which is particularly aggressive. You know, we want to see funding not just go for research, but to fund a movement to counter their movement, right? To fund a movement to...
I'm just looking for this quote here. Okay, I'm not going to play it. I'm just going to read this. Like the CBC, the Canadian Anti-Hate Network claims to be an independent from the government, but both organizations receive funding from the government. And while the CBC claims to be non-biased, the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, where CBC gets most of their evidence from, is an admittedly biased organization. So that's kind of what I was looking for.
Right. And to your question about the government, you know, well, movement, right? They have pundits to be building a pro-democracy, an inclusive movement that would protect people in Canada, especially members of equity-deserving groups, from the rise of the far right. And I would call it a pro-democracy movement, right? And the government should be putting money towards that. It's a nonpartisan thing, right? A pro-democracy movement. So I believe movements have to be movements. And the far right has grown in such strength that we need to stand up a movement to counter it, to fund a movement to counter their movement. Aggressive. You know, we want to see funding not just go for research, but
actually, you know, the main thing is, I wish I would have clipped that at the proper point. He claims there's millions of white supremacists lurking in Canada. However, CBC and their counterparts continue to target the same individuals, have moved the needle on controversial topics, exposing conspiracies as truths. Most notably the foreign interference scandal, but now they're unapologetically covering the government's mass immigration policies. They have become targets of another hyperbolic smear campaign by the same players. So, yeah, it's pretty gross. Government affiliate organizations and failed journalists turned influencers continue to propagate a fear campaign that Canadians are facing a white supremacist terror movement. But the only organization that meets CSIS's assessment that constitutes a terrorist organization is the government itself. That's pretty interesting, too. So I don't know. I don't want to get too deep into it.
That's okay. I'm doing some background research here.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out when this one. It's not going to give me a date. Okay. Interesting. So I'm sure someone could fact check this and tell me I'm wrong. Are you done?
Yeah, let's finish that.
All right. I'm going to see if I can share my email here for a sec. Yeah, here it is. I don't think this will give away anything. Two things. So you remember a couple days ago, I was talking to my ChatGPT and it was trying to convince me that this is one of the warmest July. It's above average. They didn't say it was one of the warmest. They said it was above average warm July by about a degree Celsius.
Okay.
So this comes through today. AB frost advisory issued by Environment Canada, July 22nd, 2025. Frost may damage crops in frost-prone areas. Temperatures are forecasted around 0 degrees Celsius tonight. Frost advisories are issued when temperatures are expected to reach the freezing mark during the growing season, leading to potential damage and destruction of plants and crops. What are you supposed to do? To go put a blanket over your fucking 700 acres of fucking canola? Anyway, here's all the different places that got it. So you're basically looking at it coming all the way down into Calgary, almost just north of Calgary. Here's Olds, here's Red Deer, sort of this whole up against the valley, which maybe no big deal. It's just a frost warning, right? I mean, it is July 22nd, which should be almost the hottest time of year in Alberta. So I just went to ChatGPT and I was like, well, when was the last time that Rocky View County had a frost warning in July? Final answer. There's never been a frost warning in Rocky View County in July on record. All official frost alerts fall. So this is an official frost alert from the Weather Network, from Environment Canada. All official frost alerts fall outside of the July timeframe, either before in May or later in September, depending on the year. So it just seems weird that we could be having this above averagely warm July, but also having the first ever recorded frost alert in July.
Did you call out ChatGPT on this crazy average thing?
No. Oh, on what? On the, no. I didn't have time at the time to fight with it. I mean, honestly, it's just sometimes it seems like something of madness. It's like an adventure in madness trying to argue with the robot about things sometimes. But it does work sometimes too. But anyway, frost warning tonight. Going down to zero. It's going down to freezing dead center of the summer. Literally dead center of the Alberta summer. I don't know. Maybe it's going to get warmer next month. I don't know. But you get a couple of summers like this and you can see where shit could start to get weird fast. We got a pretty short growing season up here already. Yeah. And we haven't frosted. I mean, we're 30 days removed from the solstice. Less than 30. We're exactly 30 days removed from the longest day of the year. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit. Just came through the wire.
I don't know. I'd like to know how these, where these chat GPTs are getting their weather information from. It's just horrible.
Yeah, and to be fair, it fucked up the last time, so it could be wrong about this, too. There could be a frost warning in July.
Yeah, just incredible saying it got up to 11 degrees here today, northeast of Calgary. Yeah, today it was cloudy and cold again. I got up in the morning, it was freezing, not literally freezing, but 5 to 10
degrees. I can't remember the last time I went down to zero in July. Maybe someone can correct me. And I am not in northern Alberta. I am two hours from the U.S. border.
Even June and September is a little bit... acceptable. Plus, you're in that
Chinook area, September, right? I would not be surprised if it happened in June or September, but July is supposed to be the one month of the year that we don't get snow or that kind of shit, you know? Anyway, I digress. Anything else? Should we just get out of here?
Just let me stall for 2 seconds.
Stall? Okay. I could stall for a minute. Why? Do you got something good? You got something worth doing?
Yeah, I'm...
TikTok accused us of restreaming someone else's content, so that's interesting.
There you go.
We're restreaming ourselves, and they caught us. So the AI is good enough to figure out that we're restreaming something, but it's not smart enough to figure out that it's fucking us.
I just want to play this because this matchup, I feel like I didn't leave this justice, right? Because these people have admitted their biases in a way that they shouldn't be trusted. Let me just play this quick. It's 30 seconds. The RCMP recognizes Farber as an Asian provocateur. I talked about that, right? But this is just a clip here.
With a photo of a vile anti-Semitic flyer.
The Canadian Anti-Hate Network is a nonpartisan.
We focus on the far right.
And provides up-to-date information to media.
During the convoy protests, your executive director, I believe that's his position, Bernie Faber, posted a tweet with a photo of a vile anti-Semitic flyer. Upon further examination, it was proven that this exact same photo was taken in Miami, Florida, weeks before the protests ever began.
Somebody had reached out who was in Ottawa, who said that they saw that flyer there and they provided the photo.
So you have no evidence other than hearsay that that flyer was actually being distributed in Ottawa?
That is correct. You know, we took the report from somebody on the ground.
So they focus on the far right. Yeah, that's that whole flyer thing. Anyways, I just want to play that.
Bada bing, bada boom. Thanks, guys, for coming. We hope you liked it. If you're watching on TikTok, thanks. I don't know what's going on over there. We'll figure out how to get the TikTok working better eventually. We'll try and get there. I mean, it seemed like it worked, maybe, but I don't know for sure. We'll see. This is the best you're going to get from us, so TikTok. I mean, we're not going to start replying to comments. It's just not going to happen. But if you comment in the live stream, you might get something. So thank you for listening. Support us if you like us at a-list.ca. I think we got about 3 or 4 supporters now, and our goal is 100 by episode 100, or we're just wrapping this bitch up with a nice little bow at 100 and calling it an experiment in Canadian politics. If we have 100, we'll keep going, so we'll see what happens. I think this is episode like 47, so you got a little while yet. Check out GrandAmerica.ca for the podcast. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events. GrandAmericaOutlawed.ca for controversial podcasts. What am I missing? BigSkyTallow.ca for tallow, if you're in the Canadian or the U.S. That supports the show a little bit. And check out my new book, Unlearned, Why School Failed You, How School Failed You, and What to Do About It. Might be why. I can forget now. Anyway, check it out. And that's it. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Oh, yeah, like, share, subscribe, and comment if you're watching on YouTube, because all that stuff's important. 95% of the people that watch us on YouTube are not subscribed. So thanks. See you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become... Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true? Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true? I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun, is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.